Listening Library presents The Astonishing Life of Octavian Nothing, Traitor to the Nation, Volume 1, The Pox Party, by M.T. Anderson. Read for you by Peter Francis James. 1. The Transit of Venus. Drawn primarily from the manuscript testimony of the boy Octavian. With an anxious air, I say to him, "My dear Emil, what shall we do to get out of here?" Emil: "I don't know. I'm tired. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I can't go on." Myself: "Do you think I'm in any better state than you? Don't you think I would cry too, if I could dine on tears?" Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Emil, or On Education. I was raised in a gaunt house with a garden. My earliest recollections are of floating lights in the apple trees. I recall in the orchard behind the house, orbs of flames rising through the black boughs and branches. They climbed, spiritous, and flickered out. My mother squeezed my hand with delight. We stood near the door to the ice chamber. By the well, servants lit bubbles of gas on fire, clad in frock coats of asbestos. Around the orchard and gardens stood a wall of some height, designed to repel the glance of idle curiosity and to keep us all from slipping away and running for freedom, though that, of course, I did not yet understand. How doth all that seeks to rise burn itself to nothing? The men who raised me were lords of matter, and in the dim chambers I watched as they traced the spinning of bodies celestial in vast iron courses, and bid sparks to dance upon their hands. They read the bodies of fish, as if each dying trout or shad was a fresh biblical testament, the wet and twitching volume of a newborn Pentateuch. They burned holes in the air, wrote poems of love, sucked the venom from sores, painted landscapes of gloom, and made metal sing. They dissected fire like newts. I did not find it strange that I was raised with no one father, nor did I marvel at the singularity of any other article in my upbringing. It is ever the lot of children to accept their circumstances as universal, and their particularities as general. So I did not ask why I was raised in a house by many men, none of whom claimed blood relation to me. I thought not to inquire why my mother stayed in this house, or why we alone were given names, mine Octavian, hers Cassiopeia, when all the others in the house were designated by number. The owner of the house, Mr. Gitney, or as he styled himself, 0301, had a large head and little hair, and a dollop of a nose. He rarely dressed if he did not have to go out, but shuffled most of the time through his mansion in a banyan robe and undress cap, shaking out his hands as if he'd washed them newly. He did not see to my instruction directly, but required that the others spend some hours a day teaching me my Latin and Greek, my mathematics, scraps of botany, and the science of music, which grew to be my first love. The other men came and went. They did not live in the house, but came of an afternoon, or stayed there often for some weeks, to perform their virtuosic experiments, and then leave. Most were philosophers, and inquired into the workings of time and memory, natural history, the properties of light, heat, and petrifaction. There were musicians among them as well, and painters, and poets. My mother, being of great beauty, was often painted. Once she and I were clad as Venus, goddess of love, and her son Cupid, and we reclined in a bower. At other times they made portraits of her, dressed in the finest silks of the age, smiling behind a fan, or leaning on a pillar. And on another occasion, when she was 16, they drew her nude, for an engraving with lines and letters that identified places upon her body. The house was large and commodious, though often draughty. In its many rooms the men read their odes, or played the violin, or performed their philosophical exercises. They combined chemical compounds and stirred them. They cut apart birds to trace the structure of the avian skeleton, and, masked in leather hoods, they dissected a skunk. They kept cages full of fireflies. They coaxed reptiles with mice. From the uppermost story of the house, they surveyed the city and the bay through spyglasses, and noted the ships that arrived from far corners of the empire, the direction of winds, and the migration of clouds across the waters, and, on its tawny isle, spotted with shadow, the castle. Amidst their many experimental chambers, there was one door that I was not allowed to pass. One of the painters sketched a little skull and crossbones on paper, endowed not with a skull, but with my face, my mouth open in a gasp. And this warning they hung upon that interdicted door as a reminder. They meant it, doubtless, as a jest, but to me, the door was terrible, as ghastly in its secrets as legendary Bluebeard's door, behind which his dead white wives sat at table, streaked with blood from their slit throats. We did not venture much out of the house and its grounds into the city that surrounded us. In the garden we could hear its bustle, the horseshoes on stone cobbles and dirt, the conversation of sailors, the crying of onions and oysters in passageways. The men of that house feared that too much interaction with the world would corrupt me, and so I was, in the main, hidden away from my earliest years, as the infant Jove, snatched out of the gullet of time, was reared by his horned nurse on Mount Ida in profoundest secrecy. When we did go abroad, Mr. 0301 warned me that I should not lean out at the window of the carriage, and should not show my face. He told me that, should I ever run away into the city, I would not return, but would be snatched up by evil men who would take me forever away from my mother. This was, I now know, but a half-lie. I imagined that I was a silent and solemn child, as solemn as my mother was smiling and gay. The appearance of solemnity was much increased by the fact that, from my earliest youth, my head was shaved, and I was made to wear white wigs, so that even in childhood I had the look of age. I was told that the hair for my wigs, and for my mother's, for she too was shaved and wore white wigs, though hers were towering and marked with jet-black ribbons, that this hair came from a pensioner's home in Prague, where hair was farmed in exchange for soup and bread. Such wigs could not have been inexpensive, but they were simply one of the extravagant customs of that place, and I found them unsurprising. In the parlance of that house, the master, Mr. Gitney, was called 0301, because he was the head, and so 01, of the third family enumerated, that is, the Gitneys. He was attempting to introduce a numerical system of naming, with the idea that it would rationalize human relations. 0101, therefore, was our glorious majesty the king, the initial 01 signifying his majesty's family, the House of Hanover. The queen was 0102, George Augustus Frederick, Prince of Wales, 0103, and so on. 0201 was his lordship the Earl of Cheldthorpe, a very Maecenas, whose generous patronage allowed our household its investigations, and whose portrait hung stained yellow from flares and exudations in one of the experimental chambers. In the years as I grew, my mother must have perceived the peculiarity of our situation, but though she may have noted, she did not discover its irregularities to me by word, look, or gesture. Or, by God, I reckon now that it is all gone, yea, mayhap she did discover it to me, in every gesture, in all looks, in the space between each word. And I, never knowing her elsewhere, did not know how to parse her warnings and subtlety. How would her smile have appeared, did we not live in that house? Would it have been the one I know as hers, the which I saw slow spreading across her soft and radiant features, to greet each gentleman who attended our musical soirees of an evening? For when the gentry would gather to hear her play upon the harpsichord, and hear me, no taller than her waist, play upon the violin, she smiled upon each and every one of them as they watched, wigged and fingering their canes. I did not ask why we were not numbered, as the others were. I suspected that it was due to my mother's royal blood, for I was told from my earliest youth that she was a princess in her own kingdom, could she but get back to it from her exile.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?